There are now five congressional committees in various stages of investigating Enron, the huge energy marketing company that went bankrupt a month ago. Enron was renowned, or infamous, for its campaign contributions. But as NPR's Peter Overby reports, the congressional investigations prove that whatever political clout those contributions might have had is now gone.
Enron's political story used to be told in terms of connections and contributions. Now it's turned into just the latest example of Harry Truman's famous line, "If you want a friend in Washington, get a dog." The White House has taken pains to put daylight between Enron board chairman Ken Lay and his old friend President Bush. Congress last fall was focused on the war and slow to react as Enron collapsed. Now lawmakers are making up for lost time. This week, a pair of top Senate Democrats launched Congressional Enron Investigation No. 5. Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut is chairman of the Governmental Affairs Committee. He scheduled an Enron hearing for January 24th, 2 days after Congress reconvenes. Carl Levin of Michigan is chairman of the committee's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, the heavyweight of congressional investigative panels. He said document subpoenas are going out to Enron, its executives, and its board of directors.
The subpoenas are necessary in order to get prompt and thorough review of the documents in question so that we don't have to rely on requests which may or may not be complied with.
Enron used to have a stable full of lobbyists. They've been laid off. The company's lone public voice in Washington is defense attorney Robert Bennett, the man who defended President Bill Clinton in the Paula Jones case. Bennett says subpoenas aren't necessary, that Enron will fully comply, and that it would make more sense if there were fewer hearings.
If we didn't get caught like a ping pong ball between different committees, each trying to outdo the other.
But Senate Democrats aren't the only ones teeing off on Enron. Any lawmakers who took Enron contributions will likely want to join in. And there are legions of those. 16 Democrats and 19 Republicans on just one of the investigating committees, House Energy and Commerce. Garrison Nelson, a University of Vermont professor, has studied the dynamics of congressional investigations and investigators.
You're going to want to say, look, this is a reputable company. When they were giving me money, I took it in good faith. And then you're going to have to distance yourself by coming down on them harder.
And harder still because of next November's elections. Democrats are buffing up the argument the Republicans favor the rich over the middle class. Nelson, the political scientist, says the investigations will make Enron the first poster child for this rich versus middle class issue.
And I think that's really why the Democrats will be eagerly taking their swings, and the Republicans will be right behind them, at least the ones who are up for election in the Senate.
By now, even Enron's money is too hot to handle. In the weeks before it filed for bankruptcy, the company sent $100,000 corporate contributions to the Senate campaign committees of both parties. The Republicans have said they'll return the money. The Democrats have said they'll give theirs to a charity that would help workers who've recently been laid off, like Enron's. So in circles where Enron used to be described as connected, now there's a new adjective, radioactive. Its lobbyists were arrogant, especially toward congressional staff, one source says. They didn't lobby lawmakers, they lectured them, says another. Enron had been trying to fix those problems. It hired some big-name outside lobbyists, and some with close ties to Senate Democrats. It still owes some of them a lot of money. One lobbyist wisecracks that maybe he can make up the money Enron owes him by going to work as a process server for Congress, delivering all those subpoenas. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.